What a special privilege it is to be here today with all of you. It is truly an honor to have been given this opportunity. A couple months ago, Father Ken called me and he said, "You know, Chavez, I think we're going to have you preach, and you're going to preach on Father's Day." And then he said, "And I think you should have it be like a testimony of a young father." Because then he said, "Testimonies are kind of hard to screw up." I mean, he hasn't seen me preach yet. I mean, this, like, pressure's on, right? A couple days ago, my wife even asked me, like, "So are you feeling butterflies?" And I said, like, the best way I could describe this is if I was at the pool and I looked at the high dive, and if I'm on the ground, no butterflies, I'm okay. It's when you start climbing up the ladder and then you get at the end and you see the height, that's when the butterflies come, and I'm kind of feeling it. But to be fair, the only way down is to jump. So as long as I don't belly flop, I think I'll be okay. Father Ken isn't here. He's preaching at St. Matthew's. But we are in good hands. Father Julian is here. Father Julian has also been mentoring me and helping me prepare for this. A couple weeks ago, we went for a walk that ended up turning into a 40-minute pilgrimage in the sun, which is to say we got lost. We ended up finding a restaurant, praise God, and our wives came and rescued us after a little bit. But along the way, Father Julian was giving me really good advice. He's like, "Just make sure your sermon is Christocentric. Be prayerful leading up to the sermon. Don't judge yourself too hard whether you do well or bad." But he said one thing that I think could be like the number one rule to preach. And he said, "You know, Chavez, just make sure when you're up here, you breathe." Like, this is good, that's great advice. Just do the bare minimum to survive. So, having said all that, let us pray. Holy God, holy mighty, holy mortal one, have mercy on us, grant us your peace. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. Amen. Amen. So, how we shall begin is by thinking, I want you guys to think with me, about a pivotal moment in your life. What does that conjure up? For some, you might be thinking of like a graduation. For others, you might be thinking of maybe like a wedding day. Can I share with you a pivotal moment in my life? It happened October 3rd, 2024, around 11 a.m., actually just down the street at the Langley Hospital. Imagine this. I was in a room full of strangers. I was emotionally spent, exhausted. I had just experienced the craziest 4 to 5 hours of my life when suddenly I hear a door open. And then I hear footsteps getting close. And then I hear a voice say, "Is there a new father in this room?" This was my first day seeing my son. I went over and I picked him up and I looked at him. And I just remember thinking, my God, he's beautiful. This was my baptism into fatherhood. Today, I want to offer 3 reflections on fatherhood from the testimony of a young father. But before I begin, let me clarify 2 things. First, this is not a TED Talk or a lecture on how to be a father. I look out in this room and I see fathers who've been fathering longer than I've been alive. Plot twist, I don't know what I'm doing. Second, as I was prayerfully reflecting on this testimony, I realized sharing a testimony is far more challenging than I first thought. Because it is very easy to make the story about me, my life, my accomplishments, or my experiences, and completely miss what everyone is actually here for. A testimony is not ultimately about me or us. A testimony, particularly in church, is about our journey with Jesus. It's a bit like someone returning from an incredible trip. You know, that friend who likes to go on cruise ships to maybe Japan, maybe flights to Hawaii? Father Ken is actually a great example of this. I mean, did you see him when he came back from Hawaii? He, like, not only was metaphorically glowing, he was happy, but like literally was glowing. Like, I'm pretty sure I got a suntan just being right next to him. But now imagine if we were asking him, "What was Hawaii like?" And he responds, "Oh, Hawaii? Never mind that. Let me tell you about what I was wearing. let me tell you about how amazing the things that I did in Hawaii. At some point, you would say, okay, we get it, but tell us about Hawaii. You see, that would be a misplaced testimony. What you would expect instead is for someone to tell you how beautiful Hawaii was, how wonderful the experience was, and how deeply it affected them. They would do their best to describe it, hoping to share a glimpse of what they experienced. But, listen, eventually they would have to admit, my words just fall short. You will really just have to go to Hawaii and experience it for yourself. The same is true when we talk about God. I could tell you about what he has done in my life. I could tell you about his faithfulness, his mercy, his love. I could describe how he's transformed me. But eventually my words will fall short. At some point, I promise you, I'm going to fall short in this sermon, and I'm going to say, you have to experience him for yourself. And that is my hope for you today. Not that you would leave thinking more about me, but that you would leave wanting to know Jesus more deeply for yourself. So, my reflections on fatherhood are not worthy to share on a Sunday morning unless they point beyond me. They're only worth telling because of the God who has shaped my fatherhood. I'm not here to testify by what I've accomplished. And I'm not here to testify. I'm here to testify about the Holy Triune God and what he has done for me and through me. This is a story worthy of a Sunday morning. Okay, having said that, something I discovered that would help take the focus off me was to plant my testimony, if I could use this imagery, into the garden of Galatians 4. Do you know Galatians 4? God sent forth his son to redeem us under the law so that we might receive what? Adoption as sons, crying to who? God, Abba, Father. The Father has redeemed us through Christ. By the finished work of the cross, we have received adoption. The Spirit of Christ has now been poured into our hearts. So, if there is anything good in these reflections today, it is not because of the speaker. It is because of the soil in which the reflections have been rooted in. Okay, so my three reflections for all the note takers out there. I'll say it slowly. A father cheers you on and champions hope. Number one, a father cheers you on and champions hope. Number two, a father holds you when you are sick. And then number three, a father leads by example in loving his bride well. Let's look at the first one. A father cheers you on and champions hope. So if we are to rewind a few hours before Matthias was born, I was asleep. My loving wife gently nudged me awake. Now, I responded the way every man would respond when it's early in the morning on a work week. What do you think I said? Love, it's okay. I could sleep for another 10 minutes. At which point, the nudges became significantly less gentle, and she said, we don't have 10 minutes. The baby is coming now. Nothing wakes you up quite like that sentence. But it's okay. Ashley and I had a plan. We were prepared. So I told Ashley, relax, which looking back was probably one of the most unhelpful things I could have said at that time. I told her, I'll start the timer, I'll grab our bags, and then I reminded her the number one rule to preaching, just breathe, it's okay. Then I went into the bathroom and I realized I made a terrible mistake. You see, my dad had a magnificent mustache growing up, so I decided I would grow one too. The baby was due October 15th. I started growing this stash around October 1st. Today was October 3rd. Do you see the problem? It was like a 13-year-old Chavez, peach fuzz. It wasn't looking good. So I made what seemed like a reasonable decision at the time. While my wife was going into labor, I started the world's fastest shave. Francesco, you're taking notes, right? Like, be ready. Halfway through, I looked in the mirror. I saw Ashley. I saw the pain she was in, and I realized this baby really is coming now. Okay, so a few hours later, an emergency C-section later, Matthias, glory to God, was born. I was told by the doctors everything was okay, so I briefly went home to grab some stuff that I had forgotten. When I returned, Matthias was not in the room. The nurses told me he was struggling to regulate his temperatures and had been moved into the nursery. And praise God for those nurses. When I arrived, the scene was chaotic. My son was crying. Nurses were trying to get IV into him. I was confused and scared. It turned out he was severely dehydrated. And once again, I found myself powerless. First watching what Ashley had endured, now watching my son suffer. All within 24 hours, I reached my finger toward Matthias, and I kept on saying, "Matthias, you got this. You're strong. Don't give up." I'll never forget him turning his head toward me and his little hand wrapping around my finger. You see, the doctor later explained that because Matthias had stopped growing at a certain point during pregnancy, he arrived at a premature weight despite being full term. He weighed just over 5 pounds and then dropped under 5. He was having episodes, apnea episodes, where he forgot the number one rule to preaching, to breathe. The next day, I went for a walk and I just poured out my heart to God. I was terrified. I loved this little boy. And I was afraid I was going to lose him. Then God impressed something on my heart. Listen to this. Before Matthias ever had an earthly father who loved him, he had a heavenly father who loved him first. It wasn't my job to carry the weight of tomorrow. That belonged to God. My job was simply to stand beside my son, cheer him on, and champion hope. So that's what I did. I sang. I prayed quietly. There's other babies around. I chanted the Psalms over him. And you know, one passage that kept on coming back again and again was Psalm 16. Let me read it to you. "Lord, you are my portion and my cup. You hold my future. The boundary lines have fallen for me in a pleasant place. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. Because you are at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My body also rests securely, for you will not abandon me to Sheol. You will not allow your faithful one to see decay. You reveal the path of life to me. In your presence is abundant joy. At your right hand, eternal pleasures." That became my prayer of hope for my son. Could that be a prayer for you today? Number two, a father holds you when you're sick. So we just looked at a father is there to cheer you on and champion hope. Now we're looking at a father being there to hold you when you are sick. So fast forward about 6 months later, and by God's grace, Matthias is doing well. He's growing. He can't shut up. He's talking. He's a little kid. It's amazing. And then he gets his first big cold. Parents, do you remember this? Your child's first big cold? Let me just say this. All parents in this room will agree. We are willing to do crazy things for our children. Amen? I walked into the room one day and I found my wife, Ashley. Hello, Ashley. She was holding a contraption in her hand that I had never seen before. And I asked her, what is that? And she looked at me with complete determination while Matthias was lying on the bed, snot-nosed face. And she looked at me and she said, "I'm going in." I'm like, what? This was my first encounter of what's been called the snot sucker. Shortly afterward, Ashley got sick too. I'm sure there was absolutely no connection. So there I was. My wife is sick on one side. My son is sick on the other. I have a massage gun in one hand trying to help Ashley. I'm rocking Matthias in my other hand. Welcome to fatherhood. And then Matthias just stared at me with those big brown eyes, snot-faced, couldn't breathe, and I could read his mind. You know how fathers sometimes can do that when they look at their kids? I could read his mind. You know what he was saying? "Dad, help me. Make this pain go away. I want it so badly to take the pain away. I want it to explain to him that the medicine has been given, that rest would come, that healing would come." But all I could really do was hold him and sing. I had a song for him. I'll sing it for you. Bear with me. I said, Matthias, Matthias, Daddy loves you. Daddy loves you. Matthias would eventually fall asleep in my arms. As I reflected on that memory, I couldn't help but think about how our Heavenly Father, if we have ears to hear, He is singing to us today. I would encourage you, tomorrow, go outside, listen to the birds, watch the trees and flowers move in the wind. Notice creation itself declaring God's caring love for all of us. And remember the words of Jesus in Matthew 6. Do not worry. Your Father knows what you need. Your Father cares for you. Your Father holds you. And perhaps the lesson from Matthias applies as well. When suffering comes, we often become focused on understanding the why. Could it be our first task is not to understand, but rather our first task is to keep our eyes fixed on our Heavenly Father, who through His loving arms holds us in our sickness. Okay, number three, a father leads by example in loving his bride well. My final reflection comes actually from my father. My parents had four boys, have mercy on my mom. Children often don't fully appreciate everything their parents do for them, but especially their mothers, am I right? But my dad had a remarkable gift. He constantly reminded us how blessed we were to have our wonderful mother. It was never forced. We'd be simply sitting at supper, and Dad would pause and say, "Boys, look at your mom. Look at that smile. She's so beautiful. We are so lucky to have her." It's kind of like, have you ever had a friend who is not from here and comes to visit? And then sees the mountains and just goes like, wow, my goodness, these mountains. And you're kind of like standing there going like, I'm struggling to see what you see because these mountains were always here. You don't notice the beauty in front of you. My dad refused to let us become blind to the beauty of our mom, his bride. And now I find myself doing the same thing. I will often try to show Matthias how to love his mom by actively showing my affection for Ashley in front of him. And let me say this, I absolutely love when I see Matthias adore my bride, his mom. And I realize that example came directly from my father. A father, listen, leads by example in loving his bride well. And in doing so, he teaches his children what love looks like. Okay, so we looked at a father cheering you on and championing hope, a father holding you when you're sick, and then we looked at a father loving and leading by loving the wife, the bride, well. I want to end with one final word. One of my great joys of being a young father is watching your child grow into salvation, as St. Peter says. Little moments appear out of nowhere. One day, Matthias simply started saying, "Amen," after prayers. Nobody taught him. He just started doing it. The other day, he was kneeling. Ashley was kneeling down, putting on his shoes, and Matthias leaned over, placed his hand on her head, and kissed her forehead, and then said, "Amen." I mean, come on, right? Future priest, right? But this is the moment that stays with me, and it happened right here at church. You see, Matthias is baptized and fully participates in the life of the church. So one Sunday, I was carefully watching him consume the blessed Eucharistic bread, and then he looked up and he smiled and he clearly said this. He said, "Abba, Abba." In that moment, I thought, this little guy understands Trinitarian theology better than most of us. Because listen, when you come to Jesus, He always leads you to the Father. So, in just a few moments, we will approach another pivotal moment in our liturgy. We are not gathered here merely to hear music, to socialize, or to listen to a speech. Amen? The source and summit of our liturgy is what? The gospel of Jesus Christ, the Eucharist. We gather because we love him, and through him we are brought to the Father. As Galatians 4 tells us, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son that we might receive what? Adoption as sons, crying, Abba, Father. So maybe today, if you are feeling discouraged and struggling with doubt, know that your Heavenly Father is cheering you on and championing hope for you. Maybe you're battling sickness. Know that your Heavenly Father is holding you closer than you can imagine. And perhaps, and this is a part in my sermon where I want to be gentle, but I do know that as I was praying through this, God was impressing this upon my heart. He wants you to hear this. Maybe you had a father who was absent. Maybe you had a father who wounded you and he didn't help you. Maybe you never had the opportunity to know your earthly father at all. Or perhaps there is an emptiness in life because your father has passed away. If that is you, I want you to hear this clearly. God the Father is not the reflection of our earthly fathers. Rather, all good fatherhood finds its source in him. Where earthly fathers fail, he remains faithful. Where earthly fathers leave, he remains present. Where earthly fathers are unable to carry our burdens, he invites us to cast every care upon him. 1 Peter 5:7. Before you ever drew your first breath, he knew you. Before anyone ever spoke your name, he called you his own, and he never abandoned you. The Father sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ desires to meet you in that place of hurt, loss, or longing. Do you hear the knock on the door of your heart? The Spirit of Christ wants to come in. And the Spirit of Christ is not merely wanting to fill a void, but listen, he wants to draw you into the love from which you were made for. You have a Heavenly Father who loves you and whose arms are still open to you and whose heart has never stopped pursuing you. So finally, if you need to be reminded of the beauty of Christ's bride, the church, know that he loves her still and calls us into this amazing love. And if you're here today longing for a relationship with God but unsure where to begin, perhaps today is the pivotal moment of your journey. So friends, my story and reflections on young fatherhood are not worthy of a Sunday unless they point to God who has shaped my fatherhood. I am compelled to testify to what the Holy Triune God has done for me and through me. This is a story worthy for Sunday. Glory to Jesus Christ. Thank you.